Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and I'm so glad that you all are here to share together in this time. Let's take a few moments before we dive in to our reading to connect with that quiet, still place of love within. We notice the mind wander or any of those surface level thoughts keep popping up, we can simply return our awareness back to this place of quiet stillness. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. Placing the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. And with the love in your heart and the light in your mind, coming together to share in our time of stepping into right-mindedness once again. Okay, so quick announcement for anybody who's listening to the call in the future, who's not on the live call right now, we will continue meeting on Wednesday nights in August 2013 from 8 to 9 p.m. After August, we're going to be switching to Sundays because of a change in my teaching schedule. So as of September 8th, we'll start meeting 8 to 9 p.m. on Sunday evenings. So it'll be between that last session in August and the first one in September. It's about a week and a half. So I just wanted to mention that. For those of you who are tuning in, we are in the Sparkle Edition on page 154. It's the very last paragraph, chapter 7. In the original edition, it is chapter 7, paragraph 49. So that's again, Chapter 7, Part 6, Paragraph 49 in the original edition. And if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 121. And it's the very, very, very last sentence on the page. It begins mid-paragraph. The sentence is, if you see only the changelessness, I'm sorry, only the changeless in him. So that's where we are picking up. All right, and we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're getting into, we kind of started this theme in our last call about healing others by accepting the atonement or the undoing in our own minds first, and how we can look out from the Holy Spirit within us to the Holy Spirit in another, and both of us are healed as a result. So that's where we are picking up. If you see only the changeless in him, you have not really changed him at all. By changing your mind about his for him, you help him undo the change his ego thinks it has made in him. As you can hear two voices, so you can see in two ways. One way shows you an image, or better, an idol, which you may worship out of fear, but which you will never love. The other shows you only truth, which you will love because you understand it. Understanding is appreciation, because what you understand, you can identify with, and by making it part of you, you have accepted it with love. So I'm going to pause there, and actually I'm prompted to go back to the first sentence, because the first time I read that, I was like, huh, what does that mean? It says, if you see only the changeless in him, you have not really changed him at all. Meaning that we're not, by seeing only the changeless in our brother, only the Holy Spirit in our brother, we're not really changing him. We're just remembering what he truly, he or she, obviously, truly is. So we're restoring that which we think we have lost. So we're not really changing anyone else because they are already perfect, if that makes sense. And I really like also even the next sentence, by changing your mind about his for him, you help him undo the change his ego thinks it has made in him. So the ego does think it has made a change in the Son of God, in all of us. And that we're first changing our mind about his mind for him. So again, it goes back to that idea of accepting the undoing of fear in our own mind first, and then being able to heal another, to look out from the Holy Spirit in yourself to the Holy Spirit in another. So does anything pop out from this paragraph, anything that anybody wants to discuss? Keep going. That is how God Himself created you, in understanding, in appreciation, and in love. The ego is totally unable to understand this because it does not understand what it makes. It does not appreciate it, and it does not love it. It incorporates to take away. It literally believes that every time it deprives someone of something, it has increased. We have spoken often of the increase of the kingdom by your creations, which can only be created as you were. The whole glory and perfect joy that is the kingdom lies in you to give. Do you not want to give it? I'm going to keep going for one more paragraph. You cannot forget the Father because I am with you, and I cannot forget him. To forget me is to forget yourself and him who created you. Our brothers are forgetful. That is why they need your remembrance of me and him who created me. Through this remembrance, you can change their minds about themselves as I can change yours. Your minds are so powerful a light that you can look into theirs and enlighten them as I can enlighten yours. I do not want to share my body in communion because that is to share nothing. Yet I do want to share my mind with you because we are of one mind and that mind is ours. So I'm going to pause there because this is just a really powerful, powerful paragraph here. So I have almost every sentence underlined. I may as well underline the whole book, right? But I just think this is so profound. We cannot forget the Father. So we cannot forget truth. We cannot forget God because I am with you, because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is with us. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit obviously cannot forget God. So we cannot, it's impossible for us to lose truth. And then it goes on to say, to forget me is to forget yourself and him who created you. Our brothers are forgetful. That is why they need your remembrance of me and him who created me. So again, we all of us are in this, you know, collective dream together. We're all forgetful, but that's why, you know, to truly help another, that's what this is saying again, is that it really comes back to accepting that atonement, accepting those miracles first for yourself. Because we're remembering it for all, for others. And then it goes on to say, through our remembrance, we can change another's mind about themselves as Jesus or the Holy Spirit can change ours. So that's pretty cool too. It's saying again, there's no we have that power within us, just to change another's mind, just as the Holy Spirit can shift ours. Simply by our remembering who we truly are with the Holy Spirit as guide. And I also like, I'm just going to keep talking. it's so powerful to me where it says, I do not want to share my body in communion because that is to share nothing. Yet I do want to share my mind with you because we are of one mind and that mind is ours. That's so powerful to me because that just makes me think about, you know, back in the days when I used to receive, you know, Holy Communion, and it's taught, you know, the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, and Jesus is saying right here, he doesn't want to share his body because that's to share nothing, because the body is nothing. But the mind, however, is what he does want to share. We're being taught how to think like him.
That's pretty radical, actually.
Mm-hmm. It is. It sure is. I read a really powerful part in, I was reading the Urtext earlier today, and in the back of the Urtext, and again, for those of us who might not be familiar, the Urtext is, like, there were Helen Schuckman's shorthand notes, and then it was first typed up into what I believe is the Urtext. I think I'm referring to that correctly. So it's even, this what we're reading now is even more edited than the Urtext was. So the Urtext actually has even more material in it because there's lots of personal references that were edited out of this Sparkle edition. And I was reading in the very back of the Urtext, there's a section called Gifts of God. And I believe that those sections don't appear in any of these editions. And they are just so profound, and it just talked about how it spurred a little prayer that I just started saying to myself, because in the Urtext it was saying to let Jesus see for us and judge for us. And so that prayer, you know, Holy Spirit, whoever it is that you're comfortable praying to, see for me and judge for me. And that just kind of knocked my socks off.
Boy, remembering to ask him to do that. Wow.
Right. Imagine the peace that we would have if we really, really, truly wanted, you know, to remember that all the time.
Yeah. It's the truth. I'm going to have to put Lucy away.
We enjoy having her on the call.
Yes, she's she wants to participate. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. She is persistent, this girl. Okay, that's the end of that.
Does anything jump out to anybody else that you want to talk about or reflect on, or any insights that came forward?
There was one thing here. We have spoken often of the increase of the kingdom by your creations, which can only be created as you were. Whenever he starts talking about your creations,
just as God created us, God is constantly extending. So we are part of that extension, and we have creations too. Meaning we have offspring, so to speak, in truth. We have extended, you know, just as we are thoughts of God, we have, you know, thoughts of love that have extended also. And so it's kind of like, you know, if we're children of God, we have, you know, children too. And again, it's not talking about this level of the body. It's talking about truth, and that's how the kingdom extends. So we're all children of God, but God just keeps extending. And I think it's kind of probably one of those more abstract things that, you know, it's a formless teaching. So the best parallel is that just as, you know, we have parents, we can become parents and, you know, have our own children. So...
Okay, but is he referring more to thoughts?
Yes, but we are thought. In truth, the Course refers to us in a number of different places of the thoughts of God, you know, being pure abstraction and pure love. So so those thoughts then that we have are our creations, but they're thoughts that are living. if again, I feel like it's one of those things that is a little challenging to understand, but
it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. That's why I'm asking about this, because I'm never really quite sure, but I think it does clarify to say, you know, like you said, it's more about thought than form.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you think about our loving thoughts towards another, how they create and extend is pretty obvious most of the time.
Yeah. It also, and I know I've said this before in the calls, but it all, the Course also says that our creations miss us. So, you know, that to me makes me feel that it's not just, you know, a loving thought, but it's again like a thought that has life to it, true life. Again, not the type of life that we know it here in bodies and in form. But keep asking the Holy Spirit to understand that, and I'm sure we'll keep seeing references to that and yeah.
No, very good.
What else did I want to say? I think I said everything. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to keep reading. Actually, I'm going to read the very last sentence of the paragraph that we just read before I move into the next one, because the thought sort of continues. Yet, I do want to share my mind with you, because we are of one mind, and that mind is ours. See only this mind everywhere, because only this is everywhere and in everything. It is everything, because it encompasses all things within itself. Blessed are you who perceive only this, because you perceive only what is true. Come, therefore, unto me, and learn of the truth in you. The mind we share is shared by all our brothers, and as we see them truly, they will be healed. Let your mind shine with mine upon their minds, and by our gratitude to them, make them aware of the light in them. I just love this. This just, again, I feel like I've shared this example so many times, but I've had other examples too that I should probably keep sharing. But the time when I was just focused on seeing the Holy Spirit in somebody who was really frustrating me, and shortly within the same conversation, the conversation shifted, and this person had this, you know, sudden awareness that they had an ego that they never, you know, were aware of before. And there have been other times too when, you know, I've been on the phone again with somebody who I could have easily gotten hooked into an old pattern with, and instead, I just was focused and being willing to just simply not use my, you know, Corinne's vision, because that was full of judgments and, you know, thoughts of wanting to attack back, but instead to allow the Holy Spirit's vision to work through me. And I remember with this particular phone call feeling very triggered and like I wanted to attack, and the I think we ended up getting off the phone and then back on, and the shift was palpable. It was as if we both decided to just rise above the battleground and just not even engage with like the way the previous conversation had been going. So that's how this works. This is how, you know, by, again, first being willing to allow our own minds to be healed, this is then how, you know, we can actually see that manifest in others, because we're accepting it for ourselves first. So I really like this stuff. I think this is really, really powerful material.
That really is an excellent reminder and example of what this is all about.
It sure is.
I think, too, for me, it's speaking to, I think there's a tendency to take Jesus, for example, and the go look, oh, Jesus was a perfect example of what you're supposed to be or do or whatever. And to me, this is saying, like, don't identify with me on the level of form as in Jesus, because it's all in you. The same capacity that is within me is within you. Two. So there really is no separation between, you know, my soul and Jesus' soul, it's the same, there's the same potential or capacity there. And I think that is really powerful.
Yeah, that is. That is. Thank you for adding that. That's great. It's a nice reminder. It's a really nice reminder. I know, too, in some of Nook Sanchez's writing, she's another, you know, very powerful course teacher. She is teaching the deeper messages of the course about how, you know, Jesus is teaching that there is no death and that there's actually some references that, you know, we can actually, you know, not only on the level of formlessness that we're the same, you know, as Jesus, but that the miracles that he actually performed here were capable of doing as well by,
mm-hmm.
again, just coming to fully remember the truth in our own mind first. That's pretty
cool. It makes me think of that metaphor that the Course often brings up about being asleep versus being awake.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like sometimes what, and I'm saying this in general terms, like I'm not sticking it on any one person, but I'm just saying when we decide to make a church, for example, and we hold this up as an example of what, like a representation of God on earth, and for a lot of people, sometimes those examples can be used as forms of separation, when really it's not in that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's good if that particular church or whatever makes you feel closer to Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like sometimes we can create things that are not as the Holy Spirit would intend them to be used for. So...
That's a great example, and it reminds me too. I've referenced Dr. Eben Alexander's book before, Proof of Heaven, and I saw a clip of him on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and there was, I'm not going to quote him. I'm just remembering the gist of what he said, but it was something to the effect of any religion, you know, that excludes or divides is not of God. Like, it's not practicing what God is, which is love and acceptance. And so that
mm-hmm.
immediately popped into my head with what you're just saying.
Yeah,
thank you for that reminder. It's very true. Religion has been used terribly to separate and to attack.
Even religion, it's just that, you know, different egos coming together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's
yep.
what it is.
Yep. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's not even religion. Let's tackle the next paragraph. So, I think we're at the very end of this page. This light will shine back upon you and on the whole sonship, because this is your proper gift to God. He will accept it and give it to the sonship because it is acceptable to him and therefore to his sons. This is the true communion of the Spirit who sees the altar of God in everyone and by bringing it to your appreciation calls upon you to love God and his creations. You can appreciate the sonship only as one. This is part of the law of creation and therefore governs all thought. Okay, any comments about anything, actually anything at all? It doesn't have to be what we just read, but any questions, anything on your minds? We are into the next section, which is called From Vigilance to Peace. Although you can love the sonship only as one, you can perceive it as fragmented. It is impossible, however, for you to see something in part of it that you will not attribute to all of it. That is why attack is never discrete, and why attack must be relinquished entirely. If it is not relinquished entirely, it is not relinquished at all. Fear and love are equally reciprocal. They make or create depending on whether the ego or the Holy Spirit begets or inspires them, but they will return to the mind of the thinker, and they will affect his total perception. That includes his perception of God, of his creations, and of his own. He will not appreciate any of them if he regards them fearfully. He will appreciate all of them if he regards them with love.
Wow. See, I think that, I mean, because that's that really rings a bell.
Mm-hmm.
It is impossible, however, for you to see something in part of it that you will not attribute to all of it. And you know, that's where this this course is so wonderful, because really before I got involved in this, I didn't realize that I even had a choice in how to look at whatever was going on in front of me. I was just reacting constantly. And he goes back, I mean, just the previous page where, again, he's talking about, where is it? As you can hear two voices, so you can see in two ways. One way shows you an image, or better, an idol, which you may worship out of fear, but which you will never love. The other shows you only truth, which you will love because you will understand it. So, you know, that's, again, the two voices and two choices in your head.
Yeah.
And thank God for the awareness of that.
Right.
Because it's the only way to escape this,
yeah.
You know, this terrible
crazy sick cycle.
Crazy separation.
I just wanted to say thank you to you, Paula, about something too, because a few times during our classes you've said, just in your own words, something about when things are happening and the ego triggers, and you say, Would God be saying this or something?
Yeah, what would God be saying?
Yes, and that has taught me so much. That just that sentence.
Yeah.
Helped me so much.
Awesome.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I just
me
wanted
too. I was having a discussion with my daughter earlier, and it wasn't a very nice discussion about her cousin. And I even, in the middle of it, said to her, gee, good thing it's Wednesday night, because obviously I'm not thinking straight here. And she laughed, you know, she understands. And I just thought to myself, I can't wait for that phone call, because I need to shift this. This is ridiculous. Because God certainly wouldn't have been saying those things about Stephanie that I was saying.
Oh, there's so much that I say about myself that God would never say. Never in a million years.
No, wait. There's the identity crisis too, what I just said. That God wouldn't be saying what I would be saying. No, that's the voice for the ego. That's saying those things, those negative things about my niece. That's really not me in truth.
Yes.
That's right.
And this is a hard thing, really, to... It truly is the identity crisis when we think we are that voice of the ego.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect. That is
the ego voice. You're right.
You totally nailed that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's
we
what
don't
we're
even
doing.
Realize,
go on.
I'm sorry, we don't even realize that we identify ourselves as that.
Right, right.
And that's where the ego just totally gets in there.
Yep, it totally gets in there and just has a heyday with that. Like, and that's where, you know, it's almost like, obviously we're not developing multiple personalities with this course, but like we are dissociating from, we're being taught to dissociate from what we think is me, you, us, you know, like that we're so associated with the ego's voice. That was just perfect, Paula, with what you said, that wait a second, that's not me thinking that. You're absolutely right. That's just the ego thinking that, and you are not the ego. You are you are not Paula.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Paula.
Yeah, that was awesome. Wow.
Boy, it's a relief when I get that, you know? It really is.
That was really powerful.
Well, I had a real, this is Carol, I had a real gift before I got on the phone. I totally am getting what you're talking about with the ego, and I had like 2 dozen roses given to me by my husband when I took my daughter over to meet him. And I was surprised. I was like, okay, I had a hard time receiving it. I really, really did. And so I was driving home and I was thinking, okay, I need to receive this. I really need to like be comfortable with this. And as I came home and I was opening them, I could see that they were like dead. I'm laughing now, but it wasn't funny at all. It just wasn't funny. They were literally like brown and the flowers were falling off.
Oh, no.
And I was like, so I was, oh, my God, my husband paid money for these. And, oh, my goodness, you know, I didn't know how to receive it, or nor did I know how to tell him they really have to go back to the store. So I was like very excited about arranging them and the whole thing. And then I got very frustrated with the fact that they were dead. And the ego was just screaming in my ear, oh, this is probably what I deserve. I mean, really nasty, nasty stuff. And so when he came home, I was really calm and I said, you know those flowers that you bought? Well, they're dead. And I'm so glad I can laugh now, because I said to him, I said, so, you know, whatever you paid for them, I said, you're going to need to return them because, you know, it just doesn't make sense to keep them. And he looked at me and he said, I didn't pay anything for them. They were free. So then I found myself even more offended. I was like, you gave me free flowers. I mean, talk about ego. It was this whole thing of like, you know, he said, I went into the store today to buy something. And somebody said to me, would you like, you know, I mean, somebody at the store said, would you like these flowers? I'm giving them away. And he thought it was a message from the Holy Spirit. And he was like, yeah, sure, I'll take them. So, I mean, he was telling me this whole thing, and I was really feeling lack. I was just feeling all kinds of negativity. But the more we processed it and the more he talked about it, the more, well, I mean, I know he loves me, and I know, you know, that the love is really pure. And more than that, I know the Holy Spirit, like I invited the Holy Spirit in this. And I said, please show me what to do, because this ego was screaming. It was just carrying on and carrying on in my head. But I was able to remain very calm. And I just separated myself and, you know, I said, okay, I really need some help with this, because this is bringing up some stuff for me. And I am not kidding you. You know, he said, hon, I can throw them away. It's really not that big a deal. If they're dead, they're dead. And so after we had this conversation, I said to him, I said, well, you know, maybe we can save some. Maybe, you know, I can look at them in this and that. And so he said, well, I didn't throw anything away. I come downstairs. This is no lie. I come downstairs. They're in a vase, and they were, like, resurrected. They are absolutely beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, wow.
He said, I shook off the dead, you know, whatever was dead. And everything you guys are sharing tonight, I'm like, oh, my God, this is exactly like that ego and the Holy Spirit, the way it can create miracles.
Wow.
You know, it's just like I'm going, oh, my God. It was all the way I felt about myself. And then that shift of perception, Paula,
wow,
like you talk about, two choices, two voices. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, Carol.
It was the coolest. I mean, it didn't feel cool at the time. Did not feel really cool with that ego screaming in my head.
Wow.
But you know, sometimes that's really neat because, you know, maybe it's such a great contrast that it really drives this home.
Oh, it was amazing because I was able to, I mean, Deidre, thank you, and Paula and Corinne, I mean, you guys are just, you've been so amazing, and I was able to talk through and go, this is all ego stuff. This is such ego.
Yeah.
This isn't who I am.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, of course, you know, my husband follows this too, and he was like, you know, it was healing for him. He was talking about his dad who had passed away,
mm-hmm,
and how, you know, there were times he didn't really see his dad in the light. And he was like, he just put it to prayer and asked for the Holy Spirit to change his perception.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so it was very, very healing. It was just, I'm very grateful that I was able to go, you know, to spirit with it,
mm-hmm,
rather than do this outward, you know, tantrum,
yeah,
thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, Carol, that's such a powerful example. It just, the fact that, like, I mean, my goodness, that's just so profound to look, to be, you know, to know that the ego is out and for it to be, you know, doing its thing, to look at the flowers, to see all dead flowers.
Oh, my
to
God.
To go, you know, to take it to the Holy Spirit, to want, you know, to choose again. And then the next time that you look at them, they're vibrant and beautiful. Like, how amazing are those perception shifts? Are those miracles?
Yeah.
Like,
that's
huge. That's so big.
I would take
a
picture of them and keep, you know, really, that is such a powerful thing to use as a form of reference.
Mm-hmm.
I will do that. I will send it to everybody.
Please do.
And I mean, the point is, I understand the physical realm of it. You know, I know that it's, I tend to get a lot of joy out of seeing beauty. And, you know, Deidre had shared something with me earlier about, you know, do something that brings you joy. Well, I was so proud of myself. I went onto YouTube to see how to arrange these roses.
Oh.
Like, oh, my God, they're falling apart in front of my eyes. I was just like, I don't know how to explain it, but it was.
Wow. Oh, and what a big insight, too, just, again, reflecting again what Paula said before about, like, you know, when you said this is such ego, like this isn't who I am, again, that recognition that it's always our ego having that, you know, whatever it may be, fill in the blank, the judgment, the tantrum, the I want it different, the, you know, whatever it may be, and that's not who we are. That is not us. That is not us. So it's about, you know, seeing that and with the Holy Spirit, of course, and learning by these fantastic experiences that really isn't us. This isn't who I am, that we are something much, much greater. Way more amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank
wow.
you.
Oh, thank you. That was just fantastic. It makes me think, too, I know I shared this several weeks ago, just the shift that I had one time on the call where I was reading the material ahead of time before the call, and I was just like, what in the world does this mean? Like, nothing made sense. I was like, I got nothing to say about any of this. And then got quiet, got out of the way, and then when we read it, it was like, oh, this is completely obvious. Like, it's crystal clear what this is talking about, and, you know, I totally get it. So it's just so amazing how, depending on, you know, again, those two voices, which voice we're listening to, you know, what it is that we're perceiving with the ego or with the Holy Spirit. It's all it ever is. And I'll share one other thing now that just popped into my head, too. And I had heard this before, but again, I was listening to one of Nook Sanchez's talks, and she just put it very clearly and succinctly that there are only two right-minded ways of perceiving in this world. Only two, which is kind of like, wow, only two, but you'll recognize this immediately. The only two right-minded ways of perceiving in this world are seeing love or seeing a call for love. That's it. So, again, it's not that we're deciding those on our own. We're always, you know, willing to see either of those with the Holy Spirit. But those are the only two right-minded ways of seeing in this world. It's either love or a call for love.
Why doesn't that call for love always, it just doesn't seem obvious a lot of the times?
Because we don't want to see it that way. It goes back to, you know, the part of us, you know, we're talking tonight, this really powerful stuff about recognizing that we're not the ego. The ego is never going to stand up and say, I'm not real, I'm just going to go away. You know, you can count on it. It will never do that. And so when it's really hard to remember that it's either love or just a call for love, it's because we want to see it our way. There's that part of us that very much wants to be the ego and identify, you know, with the ego and be separate and, you know, be judgmental and be autonomous and all of those things. So it's because we there's part of us that still thinks there's something worthwhile there. And so it's not to feel bad about it or beat ourselves up over it. It's just to acknowledge and to also bring to the Holy Spirit, too, and not feel guilty over it, most importantly. Do not feel guilty.
I think it would be, I'm going to consciously ask the Holy Spirit more often to help me recognize a call for love.
Mm. Awesome.
You know?
Yeah. I love
that. Because that will work.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you something like this directly, like help me recognize a call for love more, or help me. My recent thing that I asked was help me experience how this, everything that I see is from the unconscious guilt that I carry. Help me understand that. I want to understand that. And whatever, you know, who knows when or how or whatnot, I've had little things, little moments of understanding come, but it's so powerful when we can have enough trust developed. You have to have trust in the Holy Spirit developed to be able to ask such a question and to know that you'll be taught, you know, how to recognize, when to see a call for love more. So that's beautiful, Paula. We can ask the Holy Spirit directly. We don't have to ask anybody else. And then that's where the real experience comes from. And it's that experience that's more convincing and more profound than anything.
You know, also, it's just this idea of being aware of the Holy Spirit and how the miracles that comes from doing this work. I went to the beach with my older daughter on Sunday, and there was a time, honestly, where she and I could hardly even be in the same room together, no less sit on a beach for an afternoon. And I tell you, I was all day, I was just so consciously aware of that. What is he saying in the Course? When an ancient hatred becomes a present love. I was so aware of it. And then we wound up going out for dinner in the evening. So we literally spent an entire day together and then went out for dinner together.
Wow.
And had such a good time. I mean, there was not an ounce of anxiety there. And I just thought, wow, that is so miraculous.
Wow. Wow.
That is truly the benefit, you know, of doing this, of following this Holy Spirit. Because I'll tell you, there was a time I never thought that something like that could happen.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, seeing that evidence of those healed relationships and those relationships that are healing is so motivating.
Oh,
it
is so motivating.
It's so comforting. And I just found the quote that you referenced. It says, "The holiest of all spots on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love."
Yes, yes, that's it. Wow. It's so cool.
That's so cool. I am so filled with gratitude.
I feel the same way. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm thanking the Holy Spirit for not leaving us alone in this and for giving us a way out. Wow. What do you think? Should we
I can just see
path?
Those roses.
I
can see those roses, Carol. That is so wonderful.
It is. Well, you know what? Maybe that's a good place. Maybe we'll stop there for this evening because maybe we'll even start again. We just began a new section, so I think I am going to pause there rather than getting too far into that with only 4 minutes remaining. So, does anybody else have any final thoughts or things to share that came up? What profound shifts. I'm blown away by just the profound shifts and the miracles that everybody is experiencing and has shared. Thank you. It's motivating. It's, you know, when you share it, when it happens, it's for all of us. We all benefit. So I can't thank you all enough.
Thank you enough.
That's what I feel every week in this group, and it's just thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Have
a wonderful week.
You too. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.